God bless you.
Thank you, my brother.
I have enjoyed this. It's always a blast meeting some new brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't get any better than that. And especially my heroes in the United States of America right now are really bivocational pastors. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you, when I found out, I didn't know you were bivocational till we were eating there, but brother, I can't tell you, that's just a blessing to me. Okay, that's really some Bible stuff right there. Amen? Okay? When a guy is working full-time and also pastoring, that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, that's what Brother Paul did. Amen? I mean, he built tents. Okay? So, brother, I appreciate that. That's big to me, you know. I didn't get saved. I got called to preach under a guy, and I don't even know his name. I can't even remember his name now. I could find it out, but I surrendered to preach. Y'all know my story I shared, you know. Went to Brother Wolf's in 78, and then in 1980, I was at this meeting called a pastor's conference, okay? And it was in Hammond, Indiana, and there were about 6,000 people there. And the guy that got up to preach pastored this teeny tiny church. And bivocational pastor, I believe, I think I'm correct there, who had been diagnosed with cancer. He wasn't going to come, but he came. He was on oxygen. They carried this man onto the platform, and he preached on surrendering to Jesus Christ and died the next day. But I'm going to tell you, I don't even know who he was, don't know what the name of the church was where he pastored. It was a tiny church. But those kind of guys are my heroes. Amen? He wouldn't even want me to give his name. Okay? So, Pastor, I appreciate you. I appreciate this church being a blessing. Just some of the things you've spoken into my life. Pastor mentioned that I'm not going to be here tonight. Let me tell you why. I'm driving to Austin, and y'all pray for me. I've re-injured my back, so it's kind of hard for me to be in the car right now. But I'm going to see a friend who's very, very ill, and I met this man in 1978, as a matter of fact. He was down at the homes where I was. And when I met him, the reason I met him is I was coming off of drugs, and I had what was called grand mal seizures, okay, when I was at the lighthouse. And I was going in having these seizures almost 2 or 3 a day when I was in the lighthouse. I mean, they thought I was going to die when I got down there. And this man happened to be visiting. He's from Austin, Texas. And he began to pray for me back in 1978. And he watched me get saved. He watched me surrender. And when I went off to Tennessee Temple University in 1982, he helped pay my tuition. And he's in his 90s now. And so I'm going to be, when I leave here, I'm going to be driving to Austin. I appreciate y'all praying. There's a lot of rain going on right now. So I need God's strength and his protection. But thank you so much for the opportunity to just be able to pour into this local church. Amen. And appreciate the music, brother. Appreciate that teaching. That was a great sermon. That was a great teaching. Amen. For Sunday school, and we're at a point now where that's the main thing that we need. And that was a great sermon. I appreciate that. And let's open our Bibles up this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Amen, Pastor. You like that chapter, don't you? That's a great. I call Romans chapter 8 is really it's Mount Everest to me. It is. Romans chapter 8 is the crown jewel of the Bible as far as I'm concerned. And I double dog dare you to memorize it. I dare you to memorize that chapter. See what happens to your life. It's a great, great chapter. It starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. Amen? It's one of the first chapters I ever memorized. And this chapter helped deliver me from a horrible heroin addict habit. I'm telling you, this one chapter, along with Romans 6, helped deliver what the state of Texas couldn't do, what the best drug programs in this nation couldn't do, Romans chapter 8 did. Amen? The law of the Spirit of life set me free. Amen? It's a great chapter, Pastor. And I want us to look this morning at some selected verses out of Romans 8, but I mean that. I'm not trying to be funny. Make a commitment to try to memorize. Look at me. I got two pairs of glasses. Amen. Make a commitment to memorize Romans 8. It's not as long as you think it is. And I remember I was talking to y'all about Alvin Crane, who got executed. The last thing I did with Alvin, because he was just an hour away from getting executed. And I said, brother, let's quote Romans 8. I challenged him when he was on death row. I said, brother, I dare you to memorize it. He did. I went by a cell one day and he said, I got it, bro. Listen. And he quoted. So on his execution day, filled with a lot of, you know, although he was at peace with the Lord, he reconciled with the victims as well. Amen? Oh, yeah, huge. I said, brother, we need to just do Romans 8 one more time. So I started off, you know, there's therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus who walked down to the flesh. Then he went next, you know. Then I went, and we got down to that no separation. Amen? And In this chapter, I want you to look at these verses, starting in verse 18. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen? That's great. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Father, thank you for these great, great truths from Romans chapter 8. Lord, use this time to draw us nearer to you, God. Use this time to conform us to your image. If there's one here today that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that this will be a birthday for them, their spiritual birthday today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to, if you have a pen handy, in verse number 22, We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Circle the whole creation groaneth. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. Circle that. We ourselves groan. And in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also himself, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Spirit maketh intercession with groanings. Underline that or circle that. I want to talk to you in the time that we have this morning on the three groanings of Romans chapter 8. We see here that creation is groaning. We see that we as believers are groaning. And we see God himself is groaning. Sin has done a thorough job, has it not?
Yes.
And the reason that creation is groaning, the reason that we are groaning, and the reason that God himself is groaning is because sin has done a thorough job. And much even today that is attributed to God should be attributed to the fall rather than God. Amen? This is a broken world. It's broken because of sin. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing together. This world's sick. The soil is sick. The air is polluted. The water is polluted. I mean, the sin of man has affected everything. I went to Angola Prison. And Angola Prison is 18,000 acres. Anybody ever heard of Angola Prison? You know about it, brother. Know a little bit about it? Angola Prison was the bloodiest prison in the United States of America for years. Most everybody there has life in prison. 80% of the inmates, life in prison. I met Warden Burl Cain, and Burl Cain gave me the tour. Warden Burl Cain's unusual man. Look him up. Read about him. He's something else, man. He is a character. When he took over Angola Prison, it was the bloodiest prison in the United States. I mean, he got there, and there was no hope in that prison. And he brought in New Orleans Baptist Seminary professors and set them up in there and said, we're going to train some men to be cell block pastors. That's what he did. They got a college degree studying the Word of God. And man, these men became cell block pastors and turned that prison upside down for Jesus. It's amazing. I was there 3 days with 5,000 men. I didn't hear one cuss word, bro. It was amazing. These guys are hooping and hollering and praising God and going, you walk through the hallway and the guys, you know, the joy of the Lord everywhere. And, man, I was driving around with Burl Cain all over 18,000 acres. And he said, Chapman Downs, this is the most grievous 18,000 acres in our nation, perhaps. He said, this is where, it's right there on the Mississippi River. He said, this is where they bred slaves. They bred them there, brother. They housed them. They would come up that Mississippi, and they bred people there. And he said, I made up my... He said, sin has done a thorough job, but the grace of God, amen? His own, grace is much more abounded. But sin has affected everything. It's affected creation is groaning. And look at what it says. It says here in Romans 8, it says that verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. It says the creature was made subject to this fall. Why? Because of man. Because of us. I mean, everybody's suffering. Creation is suffering because of man's sinfulness. And creation is groaning. Everything's changing right now. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm a fisherman, but I haven't been fishing in a while. But I like to wade fish, brother. That's what I do. I go down to the bay. I used to go to the beachfront, and I would wade out there to the second sandbar, and I would fish. I just love to do that. I don't do it anymore. Because I'm going to tell you, even the sharks have changed. Them boogers are biting everybody. My son called me the other day. He said, Dad, let's go wade fishing. I said, I'm not going, son. He said, Dad, you're getting old, you're turning into a sissy. That's what he told me, my own son, brother. I said, well, you go ahead, smart aleck. Go on out there. I'll read about you in Eyewitness News or something. Go on out there. Get you some of them sharks. I'm telling you, creation's changing right now. Creation is groaning. And mark it down, there's going to be more volcanoes. If the Lord tarries, we're going to see a lot more changes going on because the earth is groaning right now under sin. That's what he's talking about right now. This thing's winding down. Cheer up, you'll soon be home. Amen? That's right. I mean, it's not going to be long. This thing is winding up. That's why we need to be hard at it. We need to be in the place of God, doing the will of God, because it's winding up. And creation is groaning this morning. It was made subject to vanity. Not only is creation, it's groaning, and we made it subject to this, but it's suffering. And you know, creation, look what it says. It's also waiting. It's waiting. It said, verse 21, the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. You know what? You know what creation is waiting on right now? Waiting on us. It's waiting on us. Amen? The winning of the lost is really going to usher in the end of suffering. Because when Lord comes back, And the Lord's coming back when the last soul that needs to be saved is saved. Amen? It's called the fullness of the Gentiles. And when that's done, guess what? There'll be no more cancer. Amen?
That's right.
There'll be no more tears. There'll be no... We won't have to be subject to sin as we know it today. Creation is groaning. Creation is waiting. Not only is creation groaning, but it says that we're groaning. Look at what it says. It says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. There's people that teach that, you know what, it's God's will for everybody to be healed and to be well. Well, that sounds great. And that will happen one day, but it ain't going to happen down here. Amen?
That's right.
That's what that verse teaches right there. My body didn't get saved. My flesh didn't get saved. But we're groaning down here. And as it gets worse and worse, as we watch the news, as we see, let me tell you something. If you could hear what I hear in one day in the Harris County Jail, I had an inmate in my office about 2 weeks ago, and he told me something so vile. It was, you know, and I've heard a lot. I've been on death row. I mean, y'all know what I was involved in. I've seen a lot, and I've heard a lot. This was so vile that I almost threw up in my office when he told me, bro. I'm serious. It was the worst thing I'd ever heard that he was involved in. And I was literally just groaning. And I was groaning in my office. I was like, man. I said, bro, and he was claiming to be a Christian. I said, let me pray with you, and I'm going to let you go back to your cell. I'm serious. I didn't even want to look at it. Groaning. We watch the news and we see these precious kids like y'all are going to. These kids have no family. They've never met their dad. They've never met their mother. And the kids are suffering because, and they're groaning themselves because of sin. We groan in our spirits over the broken lives. We groan in our spirit because of our Lord being blasphemed. I'm going to tell you, we're groaning right now. All of us that love this nation, we can't even process it, can we? It's hard for me to even process this stuff. All I can do is just groan and say, Lord, hurry up, amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're groaning today. We're groaning. Our spirits are groaning. Our body. I told Pastor, my body's groaning. I got up this morning, man. Y'all know my house just flooded, and I think I got like 6 inches of rain last night up where I live in Mac. So I got up this morning. I looked out, and there's water all coming into my garage. And I forgot I'd accidentally dammed up this drainage thing and got out there. And I'm talking, this is 5:30 this morning. And I lifted up that pile of brush and my back went out. And I fell down. I mean, I had to crawl back in. My back went out. Why? Because I'm groaning, amen? My body didn't get saved, all right? And, Brother Downs, you need to go to a faith healer. Okay. All right. Huh? Yeah, that's what somebody told me. So one of the guys downtown is a child. He said, Brother, don't even speak that stuff. I said something one day about having some back. Don't speak it. Just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense. I said, bro, guess what? I do have a bad back. And you know what? And I'm not making this up. His back went out too. Now, I tried not to laugh about it, but I said, bro, you're going to die one day if the Lord doesn't come back. Okay? We're groaning. Our bodies are, you know what? If I believe that nonsense that they believe, I wouldn't be bald right now. I mean, if that stuff was true, right? I mean, think about that. One of them wanting to lay hands on me wearing glasses. I said, why are you wearing glasses, bro? I said, go heal yourself first. I mean, it's just crazy. But we're going to get a brand new body, amen?
Yeah,
that's right. Y'all, we're going to get up there. Y'all going to see Brother Downs. You know what I'm going to be doing when you see me? I'm going to be combing my hair. Yeah, I'm going to be. Yeah, look at old Brother Downs over there. That's right. Hey, the Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall see him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's coming. Amen? Won't be long. We're groaning. We're going to be praising him up there real soon, church. Hold on a little longer. Won't be long. Hold on a little. Just keep on keeping on. Let's finish good. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Creation, Paul says, is groaning. Man, we are we're hurting as we see all this stuff. These poor kids, they're telling. I'm going to tell you, I sit there and they say, well, just tell your son or daughter, they get to choose if they want to be male or female. And I'm thinking, Lord, is this a nightmare? Am I really seeing this? Help me, God. Help me, Lord.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Poor kids. Groaning. We're groaning. We're groaning. And we need to be groaning. Let me tell you something. If you're not groaning right now, you might not be saved. Let me just say that. If you're not grieved right now as a Christian, there's a chance that you're not even a Christian. I'm being serious about that. We ought to be broken. I'm talking broken. Brother Raymond talking about integrity. If we don't have integrity, we ought to be broken. We ought to be broken. Lord, I'm a phony. I mean, if you're living one big lie and you're not groaning about it, you ain't saved.
Yeah.
Period.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You can't tell me if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you're going to be grieved if you're a phony.
That's right.
And if you are what you was, you ain't. That's bad grammar, but good theology. Amen? No, for real. If you got a cold heart, ask God, God, make me groan over the loss. Let me groan, God, over my own condition. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Create in me a clean heart, O God. My old heart's dirty. You ought to be groaning. All of us. We need to be broken, Pastor, don't we? But this entertainment, you know, we try to entertain our way through it. No, God wants us to get broken. God wants us to grieve with Him. And Brother Raymond was talking about having the heart of God. If we got the heart of God, we're going to be broken people over our own condition. Creation is groaning. We're groaning. I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling less and less at home every day. I'm tired. I am. You know, it used to be the old saints. They were always singing about going home, weren't they? We sang it today. There's a land that is fair. They weren't like a tick on a dog down here. Those people knew they weren't citizens. Man, I'm not a citizen down here. I'm down here on a green card, amen? Just working in the fields. My citizenship, Paul said, is in heaven. Good night. This ain't my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Ask God to give you perspective on that. Won't be long. Won't be long. We need to be groaning. It was a Paul, Brother Paul. Think about Brother Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived. Think about him. Oh, wretched man that I am. Think about that, Pastor. I am less than the least, oh God. I guess he never read Your Best Life Now. Poor Paul. I think Paul had what these charismatics call the spirit of poverty. If he could have just gotten a book from Kenneth Copeland, poor Paul wouldn't have gone through what he went through. You know? He could have had a mansion. Our own Lord, poor Jesus, if he'd have just had Christian TV, he'd have had a place to live. I appreciate Raymond. He's talking about reaching through the TV and grabbing them. I love that stuff. Because we ought to be mad.
Right. Yeah.
We ought to be mad about this when people misrepresent the Word of God, amen, and confuse these poor people. That grieves me more than anything. And I'm going to tell you, in the Independent Baptist Church, guilty of twisting up the Scripture themselves. I tell you, Pastor, when I hear a pastor get up or a preacher get up and make the Bible say something it's not saying, I'm going to tell you, it angers me. It's grievous. And I'm going to tell you, they'll give an account to God. They'll give an account to God for twisting the King James Bible and make it say something it don't say. Yeah. That's just one of them rabbits, Raymond. Look out now. Creation is groaning. We are groaning. And God is groaning. Now, let me tell you something. If you watch a news broadcast and you see a little child, 5 years old, that's been raped, and you are grieving, what do you think God is doing? Our Lord is groaning over what sin has done. Look at John 11. Just look at John 11. John 11. Verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, notice, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he what? He groaned. He groaned in his spirit. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Brother Downs, what was he groaning about? I'm not going to act like I know exactly what was going on there, because I don't. I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure he's groaning over the effects of sin. Amen? Yeah. He's groaning over people that are hurting. God is groaning. The Holy Spirit, we read this morning out of Romans 8, is groaning over us and for us. Amen? Let me say that again. God Almighty is groaning this morning. He's groaning over the lost. He's grieving. He's groaning over the lost. He's not willing that any should perish. Now think about that. God's desire is for all men to be saved. And he's groaning and grieving over the lost. God is grieving over our cold and indifferent hearts. He's wanting to soften our hearts. And he will orchestrate that to happen. If you've got a hard heart this morning, if you've got a worldly heart this morning, if you've drifted away from God, he'll work on your heart. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes, I remember when I was, they told me they were going to give me 20, I'm sitting in a jail cell, they're going to give me 20 years in prison. That's a pretty serious thing when you're 24 years old. You know what? I tried to run from God. Let me tell you something, you can't run from God. The psalmist David said it best when he said, Lord, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God will step in. He will step in. Because he wants your heart to... He's groaning over you. He wants the best for every one of his children that's in this room this morning. The Lord is making intercession. He is groaning on your behalf. God is grieving over the idolatry of His people. That is us giving our lives for something that's going to matter nothing in eternity. Think about some of the stuff we fixate on that's going to mean nothing. I was talking to Dexter Manley. He was in jail, and I met him. He was actually, I was teaching a class on addiction, how to get out of it. Amen? And he was there. Dexter Manley's got 3 Super Bowl rings, brother. 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, just a knucklehead. I mean, certified knucklehead. Somebody the other day asked me where if I pastored. I said, I sure do. It's called Knucklehead Baptist Church. Amen? That's where I pastor. So Dexter, he got out of jail and got he came back to God while he's locked up, got out. And I saw him one time at Gallery Furniture. Just a few months later, I saw him again. He was working there. Had his Super Bowl ring. He only had one left because he'd hawked the other ones for crack cocaine. Had his Super Bowl. And I said, Dexter, are you in church? No, man, I don't have time. And I said, well, bro, let me ask you a question. Who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? He said, I don't know. I can't remember right off the top. I said, who won it 5 years ago? He said, man, I have to think about it, but. I said, you know what? I don't know either. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's not going to matter when we stand before God who won some stupid football game. Help me, Jesus. And yet, our hearts are given to all this stuff, and it's become idolatry. We just say, and I'm not saying you're wicked or ungodly if you watch football, but let me tell you something. If that's where you're getting your joy and peace, if it's stuff like that that you have to have, whatever it may be, God doesn't want us committing idolatry. He wants, we go to everything, and really the essence of sin is using a God-given desire in an unbiblical way is what it is. You need to get your joy from God. You need to get your peace from God. We got a bird loose in here. Look here. Get your peace from God. Get your joy from God. You don't have to have a pill to have peace. Amen?
That's right.
Unless it's the gospel. Amen? That's right. Huh? I mean, get it from God. Get it from God. God is grieving. God is grieving over you today. He's grieving over me and groaning. You know, wanting me to take it to another level with Him. God is wanting my heart to be more tender toward Him. Maybe God is groaning right now because you're in a relationship with somebody you know you shouldn't be in this morning. Maybe God is groaning because you're supposed to be doing something for Him you're not doing. We're coming up on Missions Week in this church. It's a big week for this church. And Brother Evans, we're not that big a church. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're already doing a lot. This little church is already doing a lot. For souls with the people that you've sent out. But it could be you. He wants you to go. Well, where am I going to go? You don't need to know where you are. You just need to surrender.
Yes,
Abraham went out not knowing where he went. Amen? Yes. I love that verse. You just need to say, God, here I am. I remember when I came to God, I mean, y'all know, my arms were covered with needle marks. My mind was shot from dope. I didn't even know how to pray. I just said, Lord, I remember what I told the Lord, Pastor. I said, Lord, you got me locked, stock, and barrel. I don't even know what that means. I just knew it meant everything. Amen? That's right. I just said, God, what's left of me belongs to you. And only one life, hear me, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We don't have much longer. Finish for God. Give yourself wholly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is, that He becomes the absolute and final authority in your life. Lord, do with me whatever you want to do. What is it that needs to go out of my life? God, what is it that needs to come into my life? If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, God is groaning because He wants you to be His child. Jesus Christ died on the cross to deal with sin. He was buried and He rose again. That's the gospel. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be totally transformed. I'm talking about saved, delivered, and God will use you. Creation is groaning, we are groaning, and God is groaning. The three groans. God's calling you today. He's calling you. Will you answer? So we stand together. If you need to do business with God about anything, we're going to have a business meeting right now at the altar. We're going to do business with the Lord at the altar. Maybe you've lost your burden for souls. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never surrendered. I'm saved, Brother Downs, but I have never told God that He's got my life to do whatever He wants to do with it. Then why don't you have a little talk with the Lord at the altar? As we have a song, come on up and just talk to the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you want Pastor, most importantly now, if you don't know that you're saved, and you say, Brother Hans, I'm just not real. I think I might be. I'm not sure. Well, nail it down. Drive a stake in the ground. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I'm too embarrassed. That's the enemy lying to you right now. Fear of man brings a snare. If you're not sure, nail it down today. I'll pray with you. As we sing, just come talk to the Lord and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Father God. Lord, you know I've drifted. I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home. Come on home to the Lord today. Come on home to God, whatever you need to talk to Him about. Amen. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. To thy precious bleeding side. Don't count your blessings. Make your blessings count for God. Make your life count for God.